Great news. I've been drinking.
Life's not like Flynn, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you what to do. If your life's time to move, he will make you brand new. If you don't like it, fuck you.
Wild one, won't you please come home? You've been away too long now, will you? We need you home, we need you near. Come back, wild one, now, will you? How can we live without your love? You know that'd kill you. And how can we carry on while you are gone, my wild one?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a great show. We'll just let this go a little bit in the background. I'm going to have a drink. If you're having a drink, have a drink. My whiskey's not convenient, so we're going to make do with Junior Johnson's Midnight Moon out of a Rocky / Liberty Bell shot glass that says Philly. Really, my whole life summarized right on this table. Cheers, everyone.
Say you are a wild one.
Woo. Okay.
Say you are the wild one.
You are the wild one. Welcome to another show. It's very late. I did some early shows. Now I'm doing a very late show. Because I ended up spending some time with a friend, chatting in his garage about art. Because, you know, I'm very knowledgeable on that subject. So, of course, I belong there. So we had some drinks. And, you know, I made it home. And now I'm going to record a show for you at, you know, midnight. Past midnight. Way past midnight. Because you deserve it. You've earned it. You people are what keep me alive. So, you know, I had a drink. We had some moonshine. Next time you guys come to my house, ask for some of this moonshine. It's real good. And I'm not just kidding. And I've got the Budweiser, which is the king of beers there. Mmm. Although, you know what I don't like about this Budweiser? On the cap says Budweiser Flavor Lock Crown. It's not a goddamn crown, it's a cap. Let's not get excited, Budweiser. You don't need to be somebody you're not. Let's get right into it. Got an email. Somebody who needs help. I am the helpful snowman. This all makes sense. So let's get into it. Here we go. The title of this email is Goodbye Cruel World. And it was sent to me at 1:10 in the afternoon, which is a pretty reasonable time to receive a business email. So I appreciate that. The business-like attitude here. Here we go. Dear helpful snowman. Your help and advice is needed in this urgent matter. Apparently, a suicidal man entered Elitch Gardens, which is our Six Flags theme park, this morning and, well, the news is saying, quote, Elitch Gardens theme and water park remains closed Monday after a person entered the park Monday morning and got up to the top of the Sidewinder roller coaster. What advice can you give this poor lost soul? Thank you, from Concerned. So apparently some person got on top of a roller coaster and was perhaps going to do the suicide dance on top there. What advice do I have for them, for this poor lost soul who was thinking of ending his or her life? I think it was a guy. Let's just assume it was a guy, right? I mean, I'm going to give ladies enough credit to say that when they do themselves in, they don't say, I'm going to jump off the top of a goddamn roller coaster. Not really the best way to go out, in my opinion. A little showy, a little of a bit of a showboat, if you will. What is my advice supposed to help them not commit suicide? I could do that, I guess. I mean, all right, you had the means and the wherewithal to enter a theme park, which as far as I can tell cost about $4,000. We have a Waterworld trip planned. If you're within the sound of my voice, you're probably someone who knows me. Come to Waterworld with us. It's going to be a blast. But the thing about Waterworld is, you know, we were looking at the tickets, and somewhere around $400,000, it seems, if you wanted to take a small family to Waterworld for an afternoon, ride some water rides, and give your kids some decent memories of a summer. So the good news is you had the means to enter the Elitch Gardens in the first place, which is great. I'm having trouble keeping the thread here, guys, but I'm going to do my best. You entered the Elitch Gardens. Also, you got up the stairs, so clearly you're not, you know, paralyzed or in a wheelchair or something. So that's also a plus. I mean, that's a go life for you. You could only be so obese. I mean, you've got some sort of a working, functioning type of a body that could carry you to the top of a high area to jump off of. That's pretty good too. Now, as far as rides you could choose to jump off of and commit suicide, the Sidewinder's not bad. Not bad. For those of you who don't know, the Sidewinder is basically a roller coaster that looks boring, right? Because all it is you go forward over a loop-de-loop and then backwards over the same loop. Which, you know, in today's modern world of roller coasters where your legs dangle off the bottom because that adds thrill somehow, doesn't seem all that exciting. I get it. I'm with it. I know how the kids feel about these things. But it's a pretty good ride, and here's why. You go shooting off the one side, and it feels like you're going to go flying out of the chair. The loop isn't really a big deal. It's the drop, because you feel like you're going to go flying to your doom. There's a ride called the Tower of Doom. Less doom in the Tower of Doom than the Sidewinder of not doom. Okay? So it's a good ride. And of rides, it's kind of a good one to jump off of. It's pretty high. You know, you could hit the ground nicely. As I recall, I haven't been to Elitch Gardens for many years. Elitch Gardens, Six Flags Elitch Gardens, is a theme park, but it's not, it's not like in Ohio and they have these big Cedar Rapids or I don't remember what it's called. Now, that's a movie with the guy from The Office, but they have some big theme parks. Magic Mountain, whatever, Disney World. Six Flags Elitch Gardens is not of this caliber, but it's kind of the, if you live in the Colorado, Wyoming area, it's probably your biggest theme park. Other than that, you'd probably just go somewhere else. So, I mean, if you're going to do yourself in, why wouldn't you jump off something crazy? The Batman ride. You know, there's a roller coaster that goes around a giant Batman. I mean, if you jumped off of that, it kind of shatters the whole illusion. Or how about the Haunted Mansion? That's a good place to go. You know, because then you're the ghost of the Haunted Mansion. This is a common thing, though, with this Six Flags Elitch Gardens. Every couple years, there's someone who dies. There was a... okay, I'm not laughing at this one. I'm laughing at the second one. I remember there was a ride called the Avalanche. And I'm not going to describe the ride because that it's pointless. But basically, a kid got on it who's too small to be on it and fell off and died. You know, and so that was the talk of the school for years when I was a kid. There was also a ride called the Rainbow. And I think this is a ride that's in a lot of theme parks, is this Rainbow. And basically, it's a... you sit in a chair, and there's a whole bunch of chairs. It's like sitting in a movie theater, basically. And imagine the movie theater is attached to a large arm that goes in a circle. But the movie theater chairs stay level. So it's a pretty low-level ride. It's one of those rides that when you're a little kid, it gives you a sensation in your stomach that's almost like a boner, but mixed with nausea. You know, so basically the sex feeling that I have. So on this ride, the Rainbow, I mean, there's not a lot of restraint on it because, you know, it's not that dangerous. And at some point in my youth, also, a handicapped gentleman was on the Rainbow and basically just decided to stand up and get off. You know, he was like oh, fuck this. And he just stood up and walked off when it was at its peak, its apex. And by the time it reached its nadir, he was smashed and dead. Which is, that's a real disturbing one. I mean, a little kid falls off, that's pretty horrible. The end result is horrible, a dead kid. But, you know, I don't know. It makes sense. But a man just sort of deciding to stand up and end his life on the rainbow, I mean, that's insane. I don't know. That might be... He doesn't even have self-preservation, right? I mean, you're dozens and hundred, maybe 100 feet in the air or something. And you're like, I'm done with this ride. Maybe he just had bad timing. I don't have good reflexes, so maybe he had bad timing. I mean, Elitch Gardens is really like the place. I remember being about 16 and spending the whole summer trying to set up basically a double date going to Elitch's, because I was like, this will be the perfect double date. We'll go on rides. There are two people basically in everything, so then I'll be next to somebody who, you know, I want to be on a ride with. I mean, this is how I saved my McDonald's money. I didn't spend it all on Columbia House Movie Club. I spent some of it saving for going to Elitch's, which never worked out. It never materialized because probably smartly there was, you know, Elizabeth Andrade's parents were like, no, you can't just go to fucking Elitch's with two strange boys and a girl we don't know. Absolutely not. You know, and at the time I was like, man, your parents suck. But now I'm like, it's not even, I wouldn't even say a high level parenting. That's just the basics, right? To say, no, you can't just go to a place with fucking strangers that we don't even goddamn know. But you know, you would go there, you stand in a hot line, you do all kinds of shit there. I don't know, there's three or four good rides, right? It's just the standing in the hot sun. I just don't know why this place can't be open in the winter. I could wear a scarf on a roller coaster. I think that'd be very charming. And then on the picture at the end, it would be flying out behind me. It would look great. You know, so maybe these theme parks should be like more of a winter thing. I don't know. Or they could be indoors. I don't see why they can't build the big shell. They have a goddamn Astrodome, right? Is that still a thing? Where was the place they all went after Hurricane Katrina? The something dome, Superdome, the Megadome, the Ultradome, the Super Duper Dome, something. They all went in a dome. It seems like there could have been a roller coaster in there. That's all I'm saying. King of Beers. Out of control. So my advice. There are pizza of different times, okay? And pizza of different times would give different advice on this situation. There's a pizza of a time where he says, dude. They always start with dude, these Pete's. They're not good at the advice in the way of making it seem good and heartfelt. Even though it is, you just have to get past the dude at the beginning. They say, dude, it's not worth it, man. I'm telling you, you're going through a hard time now, but it's going to be all right. You're going to come out the other side, and you're going to be so happy. And there's always another thing on the other side. You know, whatever you're upset about, you know, there's another girl. There's another college that's going to let you in. There's another car that you're going to be able to get, even though you wrecked yours. There's another motorcycle, you know, even though yours is basically for beginner riders and, you know, the wives of beginner riders. There's a lot of things out there that there's another of. Not many are there only one of. I mean, yeah, I guess if you're married to Stephen Hawking and he passed away, I would probably say, yeah, you probably shouldn't look for another Stephen Hawking. That's not going to happen. Another paralyzed genius? Not likely, my friend. Most other things, though. There's a lot of King of Beers out there. A lot. Probably a lot of this moonshine, too, which is great. So there's the Pete that would say that. There's the Pete that says there's a lot out there. And there's a lot more. You know, the world has got endless gifts, and all those gifts are limitless. So you're going to be just fine. Then there's the other Pete. The other Pete is not as optimistic by nature. And the other Pete would say, you know, depending on your age and whatnot, I mean, in a lot of ways, the only real end to pain is death, right? I mean, you won't feel anything after you're dead. I don't really believe there's anything after. So that is the end. So if you're feeling like you can't take it anymore, where else are you to go? Now, I'm not going to endorse that behavior because that's quitting and giving up. And you can't give up because this is all you've got. So if you give that, if you give up your life, I mean, there's nothing else. You know, you're kind of the ultimate quitter. And I hate to say that because, you know, a lot of good people have gone that way. But don't quit on us. Give us another chance. Tell us how you're feeling. Instead of jumping off the top of the Sidewinder, get on that Sidewinder with a pretty lady and tell her how you're feeling. And call, you know, send me an email. I'll help you. I'm the helpful fucking snowman. That's what I do. I help. Jesus Christ. I'd sit across from you. I'd share my kings of beers with you and my moonshine. We could talk about it. So that's my advice. Either don't kill yourself or don't kill yourself right away. Let's talk about it first, okay? So we can discuss it. Also, I mean, I don't know. I guess there's a thing, too, about killing yourself off a roller coaster at a theme park because that's kind of, you know, if I'm, okay, let's just say when I was 16-year-old Pete, I made this date work out with Elizabeth Andrade and we're on a double date. And we arrive at Elitch's and some guy killed himself, you know, that would be a bummer. I'd be like, we can't go on our date. I mean, at that time, I don't think I was capable of feeling bad for someone I didn't know who had killed himself. I don't think that was within my emotional range. I think I would just be like, my date's real fucked up and that's upsetting to me. Now I would, you know, go back to that time and say, man, I was a real selfish asshole. But at that time, who's to say? So all I'm saying is, you know, if you're going to do yourself into, if that's what you're committed to, which again, let's chat about it. Let's not just fly off the handle here. But if you're committed to it, if you've decided, if we had our chat and, you know, we shook hands and you walked away saying this is the only answer, let's just do it quietly, right? I mean, we don't need to ruin an area, you know, you don't need to like hang yourself in the children's book section of Barnes and Noble for, you know, to haunt for the rest of time for a kid to find. You don't need to kill yourself in the ball pit at Discovery Zone, you know, and their discovery is of you in a zone where they used to have fun and now they find a corpse underneath a ball pit. You would never recover from that, I guarantee. Primary colored balls, bright, beautiful, fun, and then you find a corpse under there, that's it for you. Your childhood's over, man. You go home, you're in shock, you recover, you just start doing spreadsheets and shit. That's it. That's all there is. So, if that's the way you go, if that's your decision, I mean, I don't know if that's your right, try and pick a more appropriate venue. That's what I'm going to say. You know, pick something that I can approve of. All right. It's summer, you guys. I hope you're all having a wonderful summer. I have once again cemented my position in summer as Lord of the Insects. I will tell you what, my apartment has, this is like an ecological experiment in here, you know, of, kingdoms and phylums of insects that I didn't even know. I've seen beetles in here that I have not seen in the wild. Okay? Let's talk about some of my insect experiences. I mean, yesterday alone, I think there were 3 or 4 beetles and probably 4 spiders in one day. And this comes out of nowhere, too. I mean, I'll go months without seeing anything, and now it's just you know, they swarmed me. It's unbelievable. And, you know, I have, okay, the beetles I threw outside. I threw them out. I throw them outside. because, you know, I feel like they deserve a chance. Here's the thing. I'll give any insect, any bug. By the way, when I'm saying insects and bugs, I'm including spiders. Okay? I don't care if you're some fucking biology genius. Here's what a bug is to me. A thing that's in my apartment that I don't want in here. Okay? So if a bird came in here, it's probably some kind of bug at this point. Or a lizard. Or anything that I don't want. I mean, if a kitty came in here, that's not a bug. Obviously. Right? But, let's say something else came. A duck. I don't want a duck in here. It's basically a bug. It serves the same function as a bug. So spiders are included in this. Don't give me any arachnid nonsense. I don't know who's listening to this, who's real into that kind of stuff, but just know. Just know. Just know. So don't correct me. If you correct me, I'll be furious. I'll take down this whole fucking website so fast it'll make your head spin. So here's the thing. Okay, it started with a couple spiders here and there, which I'm fine with. Now, I don't know how these spiders are emerging full grown, okay? I feel like if there were baby spiders that just came about, I would understand that. Because I'd say, all right, this is new life. The spring happened. Spider babies came out of whatever goddamn alien enclosure they come out of. You know, a face hugger slapped onto a lady, and then baby spiders burst forth from her chest. I don't know. I don't know. But they're here. But these are full-grown spiders. I came home yesterday, and there was a full-grown spider just sitting in the middle of the kitchen floor. Now, I have very specific rules. This is maybe if the insects would listen to this podcast, maybe we can come to an understanding here. I need you to understand something. If we can communicate, if we can create a peace accord of sorts, I really think we can work this out. I think that you and I have a better chance of working this out than almost any other human, and here's why. Spiders. I am willing to adopt a spider. I'm willing to take a spider and say, you can be my apartment's official spider. You can live in certain designated areas. Okay, I saw this thing about the Air Force Academy when I was a kid that, you know, thoroughly convinced me that the Air Force Academy wasn't for me, as if I wasn't sure before. And they have lines on the floor that designate, like, okay, if you're a freshman, you need to stay on these lines, and these take you to where you need to go. So if I had a spider, you know, I could draw a line along the ceiling or a perimeter of certain areas and be like, this is your zone. Like, all right, the space between the fridge and the wall, I'm not using that. That's great spider space. You know, I have a broom there. I could move the broom. We could compromise. I can find another spot for a broom if that's your ideal home. I'm not going to deny you your perfect home as my resident spider, okay? Here's what I'm going to deny you. You cannot be in the middle of my kitchen floor. I cannot allow that. That's going too far. I read this article once about alligators, or maybe crocodiles. Again, not real good with the differences between animals. I read the article about the crocodiles. And basically what the premise was, oh, well, in certain areas, they don't really attack. I just saw a spider go across the floor. Motherfucker. I can't get up and get... Should I get him? Hang on. I'm going to go get him. You guys just wait. Unsuccessful. He's in the closet. That's his home now. Damn it. Damn it. Well, maybe he'll hear this and change his mind, huh? Damn it. I literally was talking about spiders and someone sprinting across the floor. This is what my life has become. So here's the thing. Middle of the floor, I have a very specific thing with spiders. You can be in spider areas. That's fine with me. You cannot be in people areas. That is not fine with me. here's the example I always use. One time I go to the bathroom in this very apartment, right next to the lights. Oh, crocodile alligator thing. So there's this village, and basically they're saying the crocodiles or alligators are very docile. I'm just going to say crocodiles. I'm going to say chocodiles. So the chocodiles are very docile, and they were looking into why. And basically the theory is, well, anytime a crocodile, chocodile, came out of the water, the chocolatey water, and came to attack people, you know, the people who lived there would kill that chocodile. Therefore, that chocodile would not go on to create chocodile babies, and that aggressive bloodline would be slowly destroyed, right? So, you know, by killing the rule violators, the bloodlines that were more docile or who were more like, dude, I'm just going to hang out in the river, those guys get to keep going. That's kind of my policy with spiders, right? The spider who's like, dude, I just want to hang out in the fucking underneath the windowsill. You're not even going to see me. You won't know that I'm here. I don't want to bother you. You don't want to bother me. That guy can hang. Him and I, we're buds. Now, the spider who's sitting in the middle of the kitchen floor, not appropriate. Not a spider area. Or I'll give my usual example. One time I came home and there was a spider sitting by the light switch in the bathroom. Just, I turn on the light and my finger is basically touching his little leg there. Like I was giving him a little leg rub down. That's not a spider area, this light switch. That's not an okay. So he had to die. He had to. Now I had a moral quandary the other night. I threw out a bunch of beetles that day. I probably threw out 3 beetles. It was nice. I had a friend over. First time she came to my apartment. And what happens? I have a beetle invasion. 3 beetles of a type I've never seen before are just wandering around. No goals, no apparent business in my apartment. I don't know what they want. I don't know what they want. That's the problem. I can't please them. I can't make them go away because I don't even know what they're after. So I throw them outside. I pick them up and throw them outside because I'm like, oh, fuck it. They're beetles. They'll be fine. I come home that night and there's a spider in the trash can in the bathroom. And I think to myself, is that an, where does that fall on the spider appropriate, inappropriate spectrum? I just don't know. Because on the one hand, it's not the worst place for him. It's a trash can. He's living in the garbage. I mean, he's living like a bum, for God's sake. And it's bathroom garbage. So what's in there? Floss? I mean, special braces floss that I have, which is really great. That's at your store, and you probably don't even know. I don't have a problem with him being amongst my floss. I mean, basically, spiders make floss, right? However, at some point, I have to empty this garbage. That's going to be very disruptive to his home. And I don't think he's just going to want to stay in the garbage when I empty it. I don't think he's going to be satisfied with, I'll live in the garbage can. I'll live in the Spider-Man-themed garbage can for the rest of my life. Does anyone have a Spider-Man-themed garbage can but me? I've had this thing for like 7 years. I mean, maybe it's time to get a different one, but it's a goddamn bathroom garbage can, and this is working great for me. All my life successes are attributed to this garbage can, huh? So, I smashed him. I just didn't know what to do. So here's my plea to you, spiders. I'd like to make peace. I'd like to say, okay, I know that if I went on a campaign to eliminate all of you, it would be impossible. I accept that. However, the stakes for you are very high. Your risk factor of being in my apartment is basically death, whereas mine is just seeing a spider, which isn't so bad. That's not really a problem for me. So, I'd like to speak with the king of the spiders. I'd like to say, sir, I think we can agree on an appropriate number of spiders for an apartment of this size. I think we can make a peace accord. We could create a NATO of sorts amongst me and the spiders. And I can leave them alone. When I'm not here, they're free to do what they want. If this means posting my work schedule on a dry erase board, I am willing to do that. And should I violate said schedule, I understand that maybe I will be living amongst the spiders at that time. I understand. I can deal with that. That's a reasonable compromise for me. What I'm asking from you is that you also stick to the compromise. You don't just emerge. You don't just sit in the middle of the kitchen floor. Part of this compromise is that if I do see you in public, all right, maybe you see a delectable bug on the kitchen floor and you just have to go for it. You can't help yourself. You get a spider boner for this bug. That's fine. I need to see you being productive on that kitchen floor because I have other bug problems. Why do I have beetles in the morning and spiders in the evening? Okay? If I saw you wrapping a beetle in web, I'd say, well, at least that's the beetle problem. That's something. But no, what were you doing on the kitchen floor? You're just fucking sitting there. There's nothing there for you. What are you eating? What are you eating? And spiders, I feel like we could come to an agreement. Now, ants, on the other hand, no. No. Ants and I will never see eye to eye. I was at work today and I saw ants horrendously attacking a beetle. They were literally crawling on it, biting it, trying to pull its legs off, and it was just crawling in circles trying to escape. And, you know, now that I live amongst the bugs, I know that I felt the need to step in. Maybe a few years ago, Pete wouldn't have stepped in. Pete, who, you know, had different feelings about suicide on the Sidewinder roller coaster, wouldn't have stepped in. But this Pete had to. He had to step in. I had to take a side, and it was hard. But you know whose side I took? The beetle. Because the ants were attacking the beetle, even though I don't think they had the same goals. Now, this is the ultimate problem I have with bugs. What are their goals? I don't know what they want. The ants, though, I understand the least. Because I feel like the ants and I could easily come to a compromise. If I could talk to the ants, if I could speak to the ants, if I was an ant man, I could say, hey, guys, I'm totally up for buying you a cake quarterly. Okay? You could eat it. That seems like a lot for ants. And then you leave me the fuck alone. But I know that ants aren't up for that. I don't know what's inside of an ant, but I know it's not in them to compromise. Every fucking ant thinks he's Braveheart. He can't just stop. He keeps going, keeps fighting for what he thinks is his. So it's never going to work. So the ants, you know, when they enter the apartment, just have to go. That's all there is to it. Now, the spiders, however, I think we could work out a mutually beneficial situation. You can have the ants. To a certain extent, you could have the beetles. Now, I feel bad for the beetles. You know, I smashed a bunch of ants so the beetle could escape, and then a coworker picked up the beetle in a newspaper and put it somewhere else. We all felt bad for this beetle because it just seemed to be confused. I don't think it wanted whatever the ants wanted. I think it just wanted beetle stuff. Beetle juice? Beetle geese? I don't know. It just wanted a little something, and the ants were preventing it from happening. Okay, overall, I live with the bugs now. I understand. I was at the post office. I came out of the post office to buy stamps because I'm a 100-year-old man. And, you know, I was like, oh, Statue of Liberty stamps. This is going to be perfect. I buy these stamps. I come out. goddamn cicada on the ground. Do people know what a cicada is? You know when you're asleep at night and you hear ing, 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 ing coming from the trees? That's cicadas. I have this memory of my family is from Chicago. And my aunt got married. And so I think it's every 7 years the cicadas, basically what happens is cicadas bury themselves for 7 years. Then they come out and they just go on like a rampage of, cicada sex. I don't know how they reproduce. But I mean, it's so weird because their life is, I'm going to hibernate for 7 years. Then I'm going to come out. And the most important thing is to reproduce. And then I die. And then those guys go underground for 7 years, and we just keep the cycle going. Jesus Christ, at least I try to keep it down to 3 years. Cicadas. Pathetic. Anyway, my aunt got married, and we went to this wedding picnic, and I have this distinct memory of we were out there, and there was, you know, is it a park? We were playing, like, baseball or something, and cicadas were fucking everywhere. Is being like swarmed by locusts. This was biblical shit, man. Locusts all over. And they're big. They're about, 3 inches long, probably, and an inch wide. These are big bugs. You know, and they hit stuff, and you hear like a ping, ping, ping. When I was at the post office, and they were hitting the lamp. And the thing about, and one hit me right in the face. I remember we were playing baseball or something. One hit me in the face, and I was just like, guys, I'm done with baseball. And I went and just sat in the car. And it was, it was probably like 98 degrees. And then I kind of passed out in the car, and someone had to come get me out of the car and say, you should drink a liquid. The point being, I saw a cicada outside the post office. I didn't even know cicadas really lived here. Clearly, I've become some kind of a contact point for the bugs of this world. This is not a role I've chosen, but has been thrust upon me. I have no choice. So, bugs of the world, I'm ready to make a peace accord. However, you need to understand that it's got to be mutually beneficial. It can't be all about you. I know you're used to being the world being all about you. I know that you're not really used to thinking of others. But it's time to think about others, namely me. Let's talk about something else. I don't want to talk about bugs anymore. I feel like I've made my message to the bugs of the world. What should we talk about? Let's switch targets to Target. Let's switch topics to Target. Are the rest of you guys shopping at Target? Let me tell you what it's like for me at Target. I basically have to restrain myself from going to Target. I'll tell you, let's go through the typical cycle of me going to Target. I will decide that I need to do some kind of home project. For example, recently I decided the curtains in my apartment are making me unhappy. They're beige. They're shitty looking. I hate them. So I think I'm going to get some new curtains at Target. And because my landlord is weird, he won't allow us to install in different curtains because he's like, think about if someone drove past and all the windows had different colors on them, that would look crazy. Which I'm like, I guess so. I guess it would look like different people lived in each apartment. I guess it would look like what was happening in the apartments. So I decide, if I could just get some new curtains from Target, this is going to turn my life around. So I go there with a mission. But once I get there, I develop 8 other missions, right? I get the curtains, and then I start thinking, you know what else? If I had this fan, that would probably really push the cold air around my apartment, and I would be much happier. I'd be a cool man. I'd be feeling good about myself. And then I start thinking, okay, And wait a minute, what about this sweatshirt? If I had this sweatshirt, I could wear that in any situation. It's a little bit good for like a concert at the Red Rocks. It's a little bit good with a tuxedo. Target has created the perfect sweater. Who would have thought? Target! And I start thinking, you know what I could do? Maybe it's time to grow up. Maybe it's time to throw out all my coffee mugs and get all matching plain white coffee mugs. The point is here, once I go to Target, I get in sort of a fugue, a euphoria state, where I start thinking, you know what? If I just emptied my apartment and started over with Target, maybe everything would be okay. Maybe my life would really come together. Maybe Target holds the key to the real me, the real life that I've always wanted to live at a very reasonable price. Now, I don't say a cheap price, a reasonable price, because, you know, the life I've always wanted to live is not cheap, but it's reasonable. I need to make a list when I go to Target. I need to get the things that I need to get and then maybe one other thing and then call it a day. Because if I just go shopping, it's no good. This is, however, my official announcement that my next birthday party will be at Target. We're just going to walk around, look at shit. You guys can pick out stuff, whether it's for your patio, your deck, your interior of your house, your bathroom. Nothing's too personal, nothing too impersonal. You get whatever you want for your house. Buy me a little something for my birthday. We all win. I'd be extremely happy with that. So November 16th, which is my birthday, I will be 29. We will be at Target having a good time. Maybe you'll buy me a mini donut maker, which I will be extremely happy with for 4 days and then extremely upset with when I think, I don't have cabinets to store this in. And then I think maybe Target has a cabinet of sorts for me to store this in. That's the thing. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. So we'll see you all on the 16th. Guys, I'm having a hard time here. This is getting rough. Big news. So the other day, I saw a television. And what did I see on there? Now, months and months, we've been talking about Tums. And I was saying, Tums? Why don't you make your, tummy-settling products into a mint of sorts? Because then you could have a, why not? If you're going to have a Tums, why not also have a mint? So that way it's like, oh, your breath smells like chalky Tums. That's good. It suggests that you've had heartburn. That's sexy. I'm gushing downstairs. So I was thinking, you know, we do a lot with chemicals. Why not just make it a mint? So here I am. On a television, I see a commercial for Tums Mints. People, it happened. We did it. I don't want to take full credit for it. And it doesn't even matter who gets the credit for it. Just that it happened is the important thing. However, I do take umbrage with the ad campaign. And here's why. You know, there's an ad and it's like a lady and she's saying, sometimes I like to eat garlic bread. And with garlic bread, I get garlic heartburn and garlic breath. So Tums Mints does the... Okay. So she's saying, oh, I have bad breath and heartburn. So the only thing that would work is something that's a bad breath remedy and a heartburn remedy. To which I say, no. That's not the point. My point is, if you're going to cure your heartburn, why not have a mint at the same time? It's a value-added product. You're already doing the one. Why not do the other? right? It's not like, because I don't want someone to go into the store and say, I need Tums, but I also need a breath mint. And then there's someone next to them who's like, I don't really need a breath mint. I just need Tums. No. You could just get both. The fact that they have a Tums breath mint and still sell regular Tums to me is a travesty. You know, once you've come up with the Tums breath mint, I think that's the end. You've solved the problem. You've done both. That's all you need. Why would you want the regular version? Who's like, you know what? As much as the Tums breath mint is a big achievement, I'll just stick with the regular Tums. What the hell? I like horrible flavors. I like waking up feeling like I ate a box of crayons, just white crayons, last night on a dare. That's a good feeling for me. No! You eat the mint ones because it just makes sense. Develop the mint ones, you phase out the regular. That's all. It doesn't have to be both. Or, you know, maybe I just need a mint and it happens to be a Tums and that does me no harm, right? So I'll just have both. They should just, all mints should be Tums and all Tums should be mints. That's all I'm saying. You don't have to sell it as, oh, well, this is for the situations where I have heartburn and bad breath. Fuck that, okay? One or the other, and why not just cure the both? You know what? An ounce of prevention prevents horrible garlic bread heartburn. That's what my grandma always said. Oh, God. This has been a struggle, you guys. Can't even remember what I'm saying most of the time. Oh, okay. One more thing. Got a new phone. Had to get a new phone. I had a phone that I, you know, somewhat enjoyed. The only problem being I could not take phone calls in my apartment. You know, of places to take phone calls, probably the most important, right? My home. That's why home phone was invented before mobile phone, because it's the most important. So I got a new phone. But in order to do so, I had to go to the phone store. Worst place to be ever. Go there. Helped by a guy named Angel, of course. You know, and he's like, he helps me through what he calls helping. I go, here's what I did. I went in and said, hey, man, I want an iPhone. How much does the plan cost? And he told me, and I said, that's doable. Let's do it. You know, and then he has to try and sell me some other phones, which I, you know, I tried to be patient. I understand he's got a job, which is to sell certain phones. And I'm like, you know, so he's like, I know you said you want the iPhone, but look at this phone. It's 3 times the size and half the speed. What do you think? And I have to say, well, not today. Maybe another time. So he shows me this great phone, you know, and then he shows me, and he's like, this is the phone I use and whatnot. And I say, oh, that's good. I mean, you probably get them free from, you work at the fucking phone store, right? So you just get whatever you want. So anyway, he has to go through the process of setting up my phone. Now, I allowed an hour for this process. I figured this should take a half hour, so I will allow 1 hour. Thinking it's extra time, and I barely made it out in time. Because you'll notice if you go to the phone store, they unbox the phone, they do all this shit, and then they call something. I don't know who they're calling on the other end of this line. And what really boosts my confidence in this whole industry is, you know, they call on a landline. And it's like, you sell mobile phones, but you do all your business on a landline, okay? That would be like I work at a hot dog stand, but I only eat hamburgers because I think hot dogs are not reliable. The service of them is not reliable, okay? They always call on a landline, and then it always seems like something I could do myself because it's just a automatic lady on the other end going, you know, thank you for calling AT&T. if this is a new number, press 1. If this is an old number, press 2. And I'm like, I know which it is. It's an old number. I'll press 2. To seem clear instructions, you know, and he's going through this whole thing. And then he fucked it up, you know, which I was prepared to let go. I wasn't upset. He put in the wrong number. Then he had to call this other thing and talk to someone, and it took an extra 20 minutes. Not a big deal, except for there's nowhere really more boring to be than the phone store for 20 minutes when you've already selected a phone. I'm just sitting there watching Angel. It's basic, you know, the excitement, you know, when you're in the car with someone and they take a phone call and they're like, sorry, it's my mom, I gotta take it. And you're just bored out of your mind and you're like, can't even listen to the music. Because you're talking to your mom. She doesn't want to hear fucking Corey Brandon coming to Friday, Denver. Come with me. Doesn't want to hear that shit. So it's the excitement of that for 20 minutes. And also, but you can't just leave. Or you can't just, you can't be angry at Angel after. You can't have a fight. It's all bad. So he finally finishes. He gets my phone all set up. And I'm like, thank you for doing the things, you know. I don't know if I could have done it without your silk shirt. And then he's like, hey, here's a receipt. Go on here and fill out a survey. And, you know, then he says, basically, I want you to know, if you put anything other than an 8 or a 9 or a 10 on any of these answers, I fail. A 7 and below is a fail. So go fill out this survey, but do 8 and above. Now, I'm not opposed to that if we had had a good interaction. If he was like the best phone guy ever, and I walked in and said, I want the iPhone. And he said, here it is. I'll do it. You know what? You just go fucking wander around Target for 20 minutes, spend $1,000, and then come back. Your iPhone's ready. I would say, that's a 10. Messing up the phone number and making me stand there for an hour sweating, thinking I got to get back to work. And then he has the audacity to say, give me a 10. No, Angel, I will not do that. Now, I didn't go on there and give him a 2 because I'm not that kind of person. I'm not going to do that to a fella. He's just trying to work a job, but I'm not going to fucking get on there and give him a 10. All right? I'm not a crazy person. Don't ever go to the phone store. Just when your phone dies, let's all just abandon these phones forever, right? There's no need. Guys, I'm pretty cashed, in case you couldn't tell. But I think we've made it almost an hour. Calling it an hour. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for reposting things, whatever they may be. I know I've been a little on and off on the regular blog posts. You know, I've been going through some times. But it'll come back. And I still want to do this for everybody and myself. I'm still selfish. Don't worry. I'm still that good about myself. Email me. Facebook.com/HelpfulSnowman. HelpfulSnowman.com. All that stuff. You guys all know. Have a good summer.
See when you get home. This working day's getting just a little too long. Well, I can see it now, sitting at the kitchen table, record player playing for the rock and roll lady. Says I'll see you when you get home. Now we ain't got much. River just howls through the empty city streets we drive down. down. Riding in a car, pulling him around. Celebrities and he's gonna be all out. Wind on a river, a beautiful sound. Now we ain't got much, but this town belongs to us. Cause tonight, it's my Lord tonight. Cause tonight, tonight she's mine.